fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm delighted to be able to welcome to the program today and hopefully most of this week my good friend Chuck Greenwood. And those of you who've been listening to the program for some time have probably had a chance to hear the interview I did with Chuck just under 2 years ago, where he shared his conversion story. And it was a high impact story. We actually repeated it a few times because of the response we got. And Chuck's story was not only inspiring, but it was also part of the inspiration was how honest he was about his journey. And so recently, Chuck and I had a conversation about something that was on both of our hearts. We were thinking about this year of mercy, and we're coming toward the end of the year of mercy, and thinking about men and women we know, and maybe some of you are listening to the program, who haven't yet really entered the grace of this season to receive the Lord's mercy, and you find yourself trapped in patterns of serious sin, habit patterns of sin that you just can't get out of, and you're under discouragement and shame and struggle. And so as we talked about it, I said, you know, I think there's some shows here that we could do that would be helpful and encouraging to our listeners. So I asked Chuck to do it, and he's put some thoughts together. And so welcome, Chuck.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here and you're able to take the time, because I do think this is a very important area. It's not uncommon for people who grew up or had their time before the Lord and really living for the Lord had serious habit patterns of sin. Their life was grooved in a way that they were used to saying yes to the flesh in a way that wasn't so easy to say no to. And that conversion happened. And then there was a kind of grace period. And then after that grace period, all of a sudden the old patterns started reemerging again. And I remember you sharing a little bit of that experience yourself. And I wonder if a good starting point for us wouldn't be for you to kind of retell that part of your story and help us kind of get a hold of what's on your heart in the midst of it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It was an interesting time in my life. I had wandered around for a long time and had just an amazing conversion experience, a reconversion. I was a cradle Catholic, but a conversion to the faith in the middle of New York City, guy praying over me in an office building, and all
you
the
were an
things.
For our listeners, you were an executive.
Right.
You were a Studio 54 guy.
Yeah,
you,
I was.
Yeah, you were living in the fast lane.
You name it. Yeah. I was looking for it.
Yeah.
And of course, New York was a perfect place for a person with that kind of a mindset. But the Lord sent me somebody. And that person, by listening to him, changed my life, and it was a tremendous conversion period for me. And there was so much grace, and there were so many brothers and sisters, and I got back to the church, and I got back to the sacraments, and before you know it, I was involved in prayer groups and leadership roles, and it was fantastic. And I thought, well, this is the way it's going to go. This is where I'm headed now. And then over a period of time, almost a couple of years, all of a sudden I began to feel uncomfortable. And I realized, that something wasn't right, but I needed to do some things with my life, kind of backing away a little bit from my responsibilities in church leadership. I started backing away from some of my friends, and I started becoming more interested in the old things again. And eventually what that took me to is I was offered a position that was on, you know, across the country in Arizona. And instead of doing what I now know I should have done, just really seeking counsel, certainly taking it to the Lord and saying, is this what you want me to do and my family to do? I basically figured I got it together. I can handle this. And I want to do this. It appeals to me. It appeals to all the things that used to appeal to me. Mm-hmm. And I took my family to Arizona, literally, you know, like the Hebrews crossing back over, you know, the Red Sea and back into Egypt without even knowing it until I got out there.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned you didn't discern a lot about it.
No.
You were responding to something inside you, which was, I kind of want to get out of here, yeah. Right? I want freedom. I want the sunshine. I want a little more of the fast life again. I don't want all this accountability and responsibility. I kind of want to get out of it. Was that part of the dynamic?
Yeah, it was. naive, you could say whatever it was. But I started listening to the flesh again. I had thought once that, you know, I really went through this amazing experience and there were so many positive things happening as a result of it. I could never go back to that again. Yeah. I could never do that. And what I didn't realize is, yes, there was tremendous grace involved, but the same very things within me that got me in this place in the first time I went through are still there. They haven't been dealt with. I haven't addressed those.
Yeah.
I've addressed all the other things and the sacraments and friendship and things, but I had never addressed those. Mm-hmm. And when those started to tug at me, it's like your flesh tugging at yourself. What I did is, instead of embracing that and saying, I've got to deal with these things, I ran.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about that last time. I really basically ran. I didn't make a decision to run, but everything fell into place and I made this decision and I, you know, packed up my family and moved across the country.
So what happened then in Arizona?
As soon as I got to Arizona, it didn't take long. I mean, I embraced that lifestyle like I did, you know, working in Manhattan. One of the first purchases I made was a Porsche. You know,
yeah.
I had to have, that was an idol that I immediately purchased. It became very near and dear to my heart. I was very busy from moving in a new job. And so, you know, I didn't have time to find out which church I wanted to go to. So I missed Mass a few times, and then a few times becomes a few times more. And I really wasn't that involved with any accountability of any brothers and sisters for anything I was doing. I was back basically running my own show. And we saw how that it turned out the first time. Well, it's you'd say it was almost good if it would have turned out the same, but it actually gets worse as you go through this. Falling back into sin that you had before becomes a worse thing because you've already passed that stage.
Yeah.
And so now you go deeper and you go deeper and deeper. And that's what happened to me in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, I just found myself, the same patterns began to show themselves, the same weaknesses. Basically, I found myself trapped in the desert, sitting in my Porsche with tears running down my face and saying, Lord, how did I do this? How did I get here again? And what am I going to do? And typically, please get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'll do anything. I'll take any job to get out of here.
Yeah.
Because I've got to get out of this pattern.
Yeah. What was happening with your wife and family during this time?
That was interesting. You know, I didn't pay as much attention to them as I should have as this was going through. I didn't consult God. I mean, I consulted them, but again, this was a tremendous change for my kids. My kids went from going to Catholic schools and wearing school uniforms to wearing tank tops and shorts in Arizona. I put them in private schools, not Catholic schools like they were there. So I totally changed their culture. I totally changed everything with them. My wife, who had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when we were in Connecticut, and it had not been too bad. It started to progress when she was out there. And some of the things, and she really encountered some serious clinical depression, which is not uncommon to MS. But as she and I have discussed since then, obviously this had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
The pressure, and she could see, she could discern, and she could see things. She knew
the wheels were starting to fall
They're
off
falling
in your
off.
Life.
Yeah.
Plus, she did not have the support network that
nope.
she had back in Connecticut with
Absolutely
the church you
not.
Were part of, and people live in the faith, fervent friends, basically.
Right. And I was oblivious to that, because once you get into that pattern of narcissism, when it comes to you and your sin, you know, that's basically all you think about. Yeah, you know, there's other things that you'll look at, but you're absolutely not tuned into the Lord, but you're not tuned into the very people that love you the most.
Yeah.
You find yourself separating yourself from them.
Right. And then there's this pattern of wanting to hide.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Lord, just fix this and I want to keep going. You made a point of saying when you came out of the lifestyle the first time and you were flooded with grace. I mean, God's grace came to you. The fellow employee that shared his own story with you that led you to make a commitment to Christ, and grace started flowing and you started meeting wonderful people, you made good decisions to put yourself in environments that helped you grow in the faith, and positive things were happening. You were back to church, you were back to the sacraments, you were back to fellowship, those kinds of things. But the real serious stuff that got you in trouble in the first place wasn't yet being dealt with. You were just kind of in the flow of a new pattern of life. But what always happens, and this is what our listeners need to be able to understand too, and how God works, he does give us, when we come back, that period of amazing grace. But what he wants to do then when the times are, he wants us to be able to say yes to him as he now, as the great physician, literally wants to dig down and do surgery on us and help us deal with all the things that are still there. The pain, the shame, the lusts, the whatever it is that's there, he wants to start working on that. And that means you got to come into the light a little bit and you have to become more accountable and your life has to be, you have to live there, and that's harder to do. And then that's when the flesh starts to rise up and say, no, wait a minute, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. If you don't deal with the flesh will deal with you. And it's simple as that. I mean, these things, if you do like I do, you walk away from your support, both your friends, your God, and others, like I say, accountability. And when you walk away from that, all of a sudden what you have again, if you haven't dealt with it, are the same tendencies, the same weaknesses, everything, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there isn't the grace. There isn't that miraculous grace right there because you've separated yourself from God.
Yeah.
You separate yourself from grace.
And you hope. Now, this is something that happened in my life years ago, coming out of what was a, you know, sort of a late 70s lifestyle. Once I met the Lord, I didn't want to go back to things that I did. But I also didn't want to tell anybody other than a priest in the Sacrament of Reconciliation the patterns and weaknesses that I did have that could potentially rear their heads. You know, like we all have Achilles' heels, and one of the things that Christian community does is the Lord gathers around us, brothers and sisters, and we're all meant to have at least a few confidants in our life, brothers that we can trust from the guy's side, brothers we can trust who we can say, you know what, if the devil's coming after me or if my flesh is going to rear its head, this is how it looks in my life. Here's what, just putting all the cards on the table. Here's what the temptation looks like for me. Here's the places where I get into trouble, either in relationship, whatever the sin pattern is in my life. We don't want to talk about that. We just say, oh, it's behind me now. Whew, I got received confession on that. Now I'm clear sailing. I ain't ever going back there. And so the devil, he just hangs around. He's going to wait. And he's going to wait till a moment of vulnerability. He can circle back. And if we haven't come clean and got the kind of support where we can get what we need, we become very vulnerable because the same desires start to grow in us again.
Yes.
Those things look attractive. We want to escape what we're in, and we want to go back to what it is we did to numb our feelings or to lead us into oblivion in the first place.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, and I did that. I mean, I just literally, I didn't think it I remember sitting there and I didn't think it was possible. Like I could do this myself.
Yeah.
It's like I told you before, I got the wheel. I'll take it. You know, and the Lord let me take the wheel.
Yeah, in a moment of desperation, you said you gave up the wheel at one point, and then without consulting him, you just said, could you move over?
I just leaped over and yanked it back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I got it now. Thanks for the lift.
Yeah.
You know? And I've got it now, and I've got it together. And I look back on it now. Like I said, I was getting some help there, left accountability, left the church, stopped praying. I mean, everything that you could think
all of it starts to break down.
Breaks down.
Chuck, this is so good. I know we have a lot to share. Friends, we're going to talk about this in the days ahead, but also not only our own experience, but to say, if we're in this situation where we're trapped in the kind of way we're describing it, how do we get out of it? So we want to talk very practically in the days ahead. So if you know anybody who's in this situation, ask them to listen to the program because I think it's really going to help. Chuck, thanks for being with us today.
That's great. Thank you, Peter.
Friends, God bless you. The scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and that's what he wants to bring to all of us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.